Praise God. I'd like you to take your Bibles, and we're going to open to Hebrews 11. We've been considering some of the different characters in the book of Hebrews. And this morning, for some reason, I misplaced my sheet, and I failed to take us to Hebrews and consider what it says about Abraham here. And we had read about Enoch. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that, there it is, diligently seek him. And what our brother was speaking of, Brother Stephen, he speaks very fast. So you have to listen fast when Stephen speaks. You listen fast. But what he was telling us was that when we seek, we find. And that we need to seek diligently for the Lord. And God will not disappoint us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we read about Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And then by faith, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, this is what I want you to see. This next verse. For he looked for a city with foundations whose architect and builder, whose maker is God. Did you know that Abraham was looking for a city? We don't read about that in Genesis, do we? He wasn't looking for a place like Sodom and Gomorrah to live in. He wasn't looking for a great metropolis to settle in. It says here, he dwelt in tents with his sons, Isaac and with Jacob. They lived in tents. And what do you know about a tent? Any of you ever how many live in a tent?
Camped in a tent.
All right, well, are you living in a tent?
No.
You're not living in a tent. No. Well, maybe Brother Dom's got his hand up because he's kind of knows that these bodies are our tents, right?
Yeah.
I lived in a tent.
Oh, in Vietnam?
Yeah.
But we don't live in tents permanently, right? That's not the way it is nowadays. We build houses and we build a more permanent structure to live in. But a tent, a tabernacle, suggests something that's maybe a little bit transient. I can take my tent and I move it. Now, how many times did Abraham move his tent? Well, you can trace how God led him from place to place. But it says here in Hebrews, he was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something more permanent, more lasting. Let's keep going. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sands which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith. Now, again, who is he speaking of? Well, he's talking about Enoch. He's talking about Noah. He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about Sarah. These who he has mentioned, who by faith had responded to the call of God and had laid hold upon the promises. But it says this, these all died in faith, not in having received the promises. Now, what is he saying? Didn't they receive the promise of a son? Yes or no? Was Isaac born?
Yes.
Was the world saved by Noah?
Yes.
So, what is the promises that they have not received? What is the city that they're looking for? These all died in faith, or still living by faith, or still living a life of faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, I think one of the promises that God gave to Abraham was about Jesus, that through your seed all nations will be blessed. Now, he didn't see the fulfillment of that promise. And that, beloved, I think is the great promise that God gave to Abraham. It's not about that he was going to be the father of many nations. It wasn't the promise that he was going to inherit a land forever. The great promise was that through you, Abraham, through your seed, the whole world will be blessed. Now, you see, in the natural, that's not the way it is. You could say, as I mentioned this morning, you can trace, you know, some of the conflicts that are in the Middle East today. That doesn't look like a blessed place. Far from it. So in the natural, these promises were not fulfilled in the natural, but they're fulfilled in Christ. And they were looking forward to a city that hath found it. Now, what could that be talking about? Anyone have an idea? Well, let's keep reading. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly one. There it is. Now, you could also maybe make the application, or say that the promises that they were looking forward to were the land of Canaan that God had promised to Abraham. But the writer to Hebrews doesn't allow us to do that, does he? Because he tells us what country they were looking for. What country was Abraham and Enoch and Noah and Seth? What were they? Where were they looking? They were looking to heaven. They were looking to eternity. And I think that's really what I want to emphasize tonight. Beloved, we need to have a perspective on this life. You know, we talked a little bit about what's going to be written on your gravestone, right? Someone came to me after that and said, you know, that kind of helps us focus in life. If you know where you want to end up, if you know what the goal is, I think there's more of a chance that you're going to reach that goal. You know, too often, I think, as even as Christians, I think our brother Mark alluded a little bit to it, we can easily be distracted and get our attention upon the things that we see. I mean, that's how we, you know, God made us, so that we can interact with this world, right? We have our senses. We have these things we can touch, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear. Thank God. And that's how we interact with one another, and we interact with our creation. I had the opportunity to be on the lake tonight. I don't know if there's any more beautiful place in the world. I mean, it was just gorgeous tonight. The colors, the sunset, the clouds, the light, you know, the sun shining on this side of the lake, and then sitting in the tree, the eagle. Yeah. He didn't respond to me. I tried. I used my best mating call. He didn't come down. And thank God that he's made us, given us that ability to see him. It's like he just painted that. It's like a painting. Who did it? God did it. We sing in that song, "The great Creator became my Savior." But we're not looking to live at Brant Lake forever. No matter if it's the most beautiful place in the world. Because we have declared that we are strangers and pilgrims. We've declared that this world is not our home. That we're passing through. And that's so hard for us sometimes to really live out in our daily lives. There's nothing wrong with the natural things that God blesses us with. His provisions, His protection. Thank God that He provides for our every need. But let's not get attached. Let's not get earthbound. You know, we had it last night with that man who just couldn't let go of what he had. His possessions possessed him to the point that he could not let that go. And unless we have a sight of what lies before, they plainly stated, they declared by the way they lived that they were seeking a country. That they were seeking a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now just think of that in the context of Abraham's life. Where had God called him from? Was it Ur? Was that where he lived? Yeah? Who's the Bible scholars here? Brother George. Where did he live? Haran? Ur? Well, somewhere.
Later on.
Yeah, he came out of Ur and he went to Haran.
I'm gonna have to go back to Sunday school. I've been out of Sunday school for a while.
But we never find Abraham saying, go back, let's go back home. Even when it got tough, when there were enemies, when the people's land that he was dwelling, when they filled up his wells, he didn't say, oh, let's go back home. And even when he wanted to seek for a wife for Isaac, he wouldn't let Isaac go back. Did you know that? That's why he sent his servant. He said, I don't want to send my son back there. Beloved, the Lord has called us out of the world. And we have to make a choice. Are you going to seek the heavenly country? Or are you going to look back? What happened to Lot's wife? You know? Another Sunday school story. I don't know if it's a good story, but it's a story, an account we learned in Sunday school. It says she turned around. What did she do? She just looked back. And the angel says that don't look back. And she looked back. Oh my, I left my fine china. And those satin pillowcases and whatever else she had in the house. The Italian furniture. She looked back. If they had been mindful of the country that they left, they might have had opportunity to return. You know, I thought of the children of Israel. This is always, again, maybe it's just human nature. Maybe I would have done the same thing. They were slaves in Egypt. They were oppressed. They had to work hard. And they worked so hard that they cried out to God, said, God, why don't you deliver us? And so what does God do? God delivers them. And then they get out of Egypt. They go through the Red Sea, you know, in the story. And God gives them a mighty victory. Defeats their enemies. The waters cover the Egyptians. And they sing and they praise. And then they go a little further and there's no water. And they start to complain. And they go a little further and they complain some more. And what do they say? Let's go back to Egypt. Really? Let's go back to slavery. Great idea. I'll sign up for that. And as I said, you know, I would never do that. But how many times have we sold out and given into temptation when we know that God has called us out of the world? Called from the world and its idols to flee. Called from the bondage of sin to be free. That's your calling. So we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back. They got right to the promised land. They got right to the edge of the promised land. It was right there. They sent the 12 spies in. What happened? What happened? Only two came back with the report of faith. Only two. What did they say then? Let's go back to Egypt. I think they even went as far as to say, let's get rid of Moses and Aaron. And let's appoint ourselves a captain and return to Egypt. You see, somehow they did not have that sight, faith, that Abraham had. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, just one more, I'm sorry, but it's just, you could not write this. I mean, you know, this is better than, what do they say, better than fiction, right? They said, we want the garlics and the leeks. We don't like the manna. We don't like the food that God's given us. We don't like the quail. We want the garlics and the leeks. And we want to be slaves, just so we can have the garlics and the leeks. We choose the passing pleasures, the fleeting desire. You know, someone has said, sin is fun. Otherwise, you know, why would we want it so much? And yes, there is a passing, fleeting pleasure in sin. But in the end, it brings us into bondage. It brings us into death. Sin, when it conceived, bringeth forth what? Death. Death. I'm trying to get to verse 16. All right, we're going to get there right now. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And God has prepared for us a dwelling place. I think Jesus himself said it this way, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And beloved, that is not for time, that is for eternity. But the phrase, again, here's a phrase that just jumps out of the page for me. It's this. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I just take a moment, think about that. What does that mean? Is it that I can live in a way that would bring shame to my God? And in the context here, I think, in the context of Hebrews 11, it says, when we continue in unbelief, our God is ashamed of us. I don't know if that makes sense. Do you understand that? Let me say it again, different way. John, tell me if when I get it right, raise your hand if you get it, okay? God has chosen us to be his people. He chose the people of Israel to be his people. He chose Abraham. He chose Noah. He chose different ones, right? He called them into a relationship with himself, and he said, trust me, believe me, and by faith they did, and they obeyed, and so on. In this context here, in the chapter 11, and this thought of a seeking a country, these people were living by faith. They were living a life of faith. They didn't have the full answer, so to speak. They didn't have the fulfillment of the promise completely. But they were willing to continue on in this way of faith, believing that God was able to do exactly what he had promised. And sometimes we need to walk that way. We don't have the promise in hand. We don't have the answer that we maybe are seeking, or even the answer that God has promised to give us. And we have to continue to walk in faith. And if we do that, and if we keep our eyes on the things that are eternal and not look at the things that are passing, then God is not going to be ashamed to identify with me as his son or as his daughter. Do you understand that? It's when we doubt our God, when we say, I want to go back to Egypt, that's when God is ashamed to be called our God. Beloved, we're not called as his people to go back to Egypt. We're called to keep our eyes on the goal. Set your affections on things above. Heavenly, not on things of the earth. And I think this is something that I remember years ago. I was talking to my Uncle Edwin, and I was just sharing some thoughts about having this eternal perspective and talking about, you know, he was great. He would sit at the table, you know, in the dining room there, and he would tell me, Philip, I want you to sit right next to me, right here. You're here to protect me. What he meant by that, I'm sorry. I know you're all a little tired. I have to finish this up. But I thought maybe if I tell you a story, you wake up. Didn't work, huh? You know, different ones always wanted to talk to him, you know, always had a question for him, always wanted to, you know, pick his brain, so to speak. And so he would just like to eat his meal in peace. So he'd tell me, Philip, come and sit here next to me. But we were talking, and he said to me, that's probably one of the hardest things for the people of God, to get their eyes on the eternal. To have that eternal perspective. You see, God is the one that has to open our eyes. And we sing, open my eyes, Lord. And we don't realize how much we need that. The things that are seen are passing. The things that are not seen are eternal. And faith, if you go back to the definition in Hebrews 11, faith makes these unseen realities real to us. Faith substantiates, is the word. It says King James evident. Faith substantiates, it makes it real to us, the unseen realities. These things that will last for forever. And so we're admonished, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Just wanted to remind us again tonight that we're strangers and pilgrims, beloved. Where are you tonight? You're at Pilgrim Camp. You are a pilgrim. This world is not your home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so the Lord has to give us this eternal perspective, that we would see, not just for time, not just the thing that's maybe right in front of us, the thing that looks so appealing and the choice that maybe is so attractive, but that each decision, each choice would be made with eternity in view. I'm seeking a heavenly country. I'm seeking a city that hath foundations. You know, again, in the book of Hebrews, we're told that there's going to be a shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only those that do the will of God abide forever. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit again would cause us to see this great call that we have. Put a desire in our hearts for the things above. Take out any desire for the world and the things of this world, the passing pleasures. You can read further down in Moses, he made a choice. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we're called to make that same, similar choice. Jesus, I want to choose you all the time. Just one more thought in closing is this. We want to be people who believe that God is the God of the impossible. We want to be people of faith. People who lay hold upon his promises and persist. So as we close tonight, I again wanted to pray with you. I know that there are a number here who maybe have a situation or something that seems impossible. And in the natural, we see that. We look at that. We see the thing that's right in front of us, this situation that seems I can't change. Or maybe it's a sickness. You know, our sister shared, Sister Raquel shared her need in her body that she's going through. Can we believe that God is able to touch her?
Yes.
And heal her?
Yes.
Maybe there's a situation in your family. Maybe there's a situation in your marriage. Maybe there's a situation financially. You know, these things can overwhelm us. And they demand our attention because they're right there. They're right in front of us. Yet God wants us to be able to see him, to look unto Jesus, to know that he's able. And even though Sarah was past the natural age to give birth, it was impossible. God did the impossible to fulfill his promise to them. And so tonight I'd like us again just to pray. Pray for those who maybe are facing something like that, where our faith is being tested. You know, I think of that father that brought his son, and the boy just was convulsing, and the disciples couldn't do it. And then Jesus came, what did the father cry out? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, I want to believe. You know, and our faith does grow. It's not something that, you know, I can't say to you, you have to have more faith. You know, it doesn't just work that way. Oh, I wish I had more faith. But we grow in that faith, and as we're together and we unite our faith, we can encourage one another, and that faith will grow.